capacity, and I do not have a catchphrase.
What have we here?
Go fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Eat Sleep Elite podcast. This is a special episode, a mini episode, or a bonus episode, however the hell you want to call it. Today, we're going to be doing some fun stuff. The best of the Super Juniors has been announced. The Owen Hart Cup has been announced. All the participants. And best of all, AEW Dynasty is on the horizon tomorrow, today, whenever you listen to this. And we got our predictions. That being said, I'm not alone. I'm one of your co-hosts, as always, Charlie. Joined, as always, by the fantastic, the imaginable, the Duke of Derps. How's it going, Duke?
Hey there, fella. Hey. Yeah, I'm fucking excited for Dynasty. I skeeted about it. I skeeted all over the timeline. I skeeted all over my screen. I was talking about how much I'm excited for this show. And I am. I actually am kind of excited for the show. We didn't know a lot on the card, but it just, I don't know, something about the, to use a term we've been using to describe some things recently. So I guess this is the word of the week or something like that. But the aura that AEW has had recently has been very strong. And so I feel like WrestleMania, you know what, the Big Four, whatever those are nowadays. I'm not sure if Survivor Series is still considered one, but whatever, right? Whatever the Big Four are now, right? Those obviously have aura just on paper, right? All four of the major pay-per-views at WWE, right? Is there a Big Four of AEW at this point? And maybe one day.
They're trying to get there.
I think we have enough shows. I don't think any of the other shows out. So I would say the three big shows are obviously what? Forbidden Door, probably Wrestle Dream, probably the All In and All Out, actually. Probably yeah. All In, All Out, Double or Nothing. Actually, yeah. That might be the four then. All In, All Out, yeah. Double or Nothing, Forbidden Door. That might be the Big Four of AEW. But just in context, because those shows usually, I think, on paper have aura too. But to make my point here, obviously those four have aura. And so you go into those shows knowing, but a show can have that kind of aura and not be one of those four shows. This is one of those to me. Maybe Dynasty goes down as a Big Four pay-per-view in AEW one day, but that's not the point. That's why I clarified all that, by the way.
Live from Philly.
Yeah. So it should be a really fun show. I mean, the main event should hopefully at the very least deliver. And if that, I feel like that's the only thing the show really needs to do. Everything else can kind of go however they want it to, right? You know, for the most part. I mean, like.
Absolutely.
And that's a great position to be in as a wrestling fan, because you know you're going to enjoy what you get. Unless they just, the one thing just has to go right, just the one thing, you all know what it is, it has to go correctly. If it doesn't go correctly, I mean, I'm not going to say the house is burning down, but it needs to go a certain way. Everything else, who knows? But I'm not the only guest.
No,
I guess I'm not
that
a guest.
Aura has bled so much through the screen.
Yes,
we've got a third participant tonight. It's none other than Wardlow. Just kidding, it's even better. It's our buddy Dart. How you doing, Dart?
I'm just glad that I got compared to Wardlow.
Hell yeah.
Hey, you're fucking War Dog of this podcast.
I am here.
We are the War Dog stand
you are
account
to
over here.
You are to this podcast what Wardlow is to the Pinnacle.
Born
non-existent
again!
I mean, you aren't here most weeks.
This
is probably my fourth or fifth time on this podcast, so I just want
welcome in. What have you been thinking of just before we really get into all of it? Kind of just your overall vibes on Dynasty. Like now that it's predictions time, it's kind of been in the mainstay for the past couple of weeks. We've got a lot of big matches on Dynasty, including the hopeful, inevitable Swerve Strickland times two, Mr. Two Time.
Of course. I mean, I will watch any pay-per-view. I keep up with it on the good old X. I'm not able to watch every Wednesday. I keep up with it though. Thanks to Charlie. I'm excited. I'm excited to see some good matches, some ones that I hope go well. Swerve, please.
Please.
I think that's what we're all pulling for, right? It's Swerve.
Oh, absolutely.
At the end of the day, not to spoil our predictions, but I think we are all probably going to predict that.
We're all picking them.
Mr. AEW himself, come on.
Let's just say, fuck it, rip it off. We're all probably predicting Swerve, right?
Like, I think if it was anybody else, Swerve versus anybody else, it might be a little different. But I think every single person, except the John Moxley truthers are just tired of this. It's gone on way too long.
See, that's fair. And I've been in that John Moxley truther camp. I gave that my awards of my storylines of the year last year to John Moxley being world champion. I have not been defending it as much recently because I actually think I was actually like in my mind, I had Cope winning it and then Swerve going on to beat Cope. And I had a whole different alignment in my head about where that was going to go. It doesn't look like AEW is going in that direction, obviously, considering Swerve is the number one contender. But I mean, I do think it's interesting that Swerve versus anybody else would be a different conversation because John Moxley has just been, I mean, we call it holding hostage, but the title's been in the bag for a while now, you know? So
we're going on like 6 months
and
I'm just excited to see it.
100%. And I think we will this Sunday. I hope that's another prediction. Hopefully. I guess.
I think no matter what, I think we see it.
That's true. Even if he doesn't win it, I could see them showing the title and like maybe it's destroyed and damaged or corrupted or something, you know?
We'll get into what I think a little bit, but I think we do see it at some point.
That would be cool. I'm definitely down to see that.
There's a lot of tournaments that have been announced recently, not just March Madness. So,
bracketology.
We got some bracketology going here. And opening us off, we have our tournament in New Japan kicking us off May 10th. Because we got some AEW brethren in here. Okay, so it's the New Japan Best of Super Juniors. This is number 32. As you guys know, we love the Best of Super Juniors here. So kicking us off, we got El Desperado. He's the current champion. Makes the most sense, right?
Let's go, Desi.
Master Wato returning from injury. Kushida. AEW's Kevin Knight. Ninja Mac. Kosei Fujita. Robbie Eagles, and in his 10th time, Hiromu Takahashi, four-time winner there. That's your A block. B block, Bushi, Francesco Akira, Taiji Ishimori, Clark Connors, Sho, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and then from Dragon Gate Pro Wrestling, we have Dragon Dia making his debut from DDT Pro Wrestling. We have Mao. Making his debut from AEW, we have Nick Wayne, and then we have a CMLL representative who let's all just hope it's Atlantis Jr., right? That'd be awesome.
Let's Atlantis Jr. or
Mascara Dorada.
Yeah, I was going to say one of those two.
Maybe Titan. He's not announced in here yet. So
is he technically still AAA? Is that he's technically So
that'd be nice to get him in there. But
he was really good in the one we watched and covered. I mean, so yeah, that would be really good. Every name you just listed off, Charlie, is somebody who I want to be in these tournaments, pretty much. And then you had Nick Wayne on top of that. And
let's get into that. That's what we got to talk about here. Yeah. Nick Wayne, essentially, this is going to be an excursion. 19-year-old Nick Wayne making the trip over to Japan. I mean. The Prodigy. This is everything we could have wanted, right? If they were going to pick one guy, it's either him or Lee Johnson, in my opinion. And I'll take Nick Wayne all day.
I'd take a Lee Moriarty in Japan as well, like a long extended run in Japan, like just win a championship.
Mr. Tiger style?
Oh yeah, I feel like he'd be really like he could get over with the crowd there, even as a heel. I feel like they'd love him. Like, but yeah, no, I'm super down for Nick Wayne to be in this. I'm really excited to see what he does over in Japan. The kid's done really well in every match we've seen him on TV. So I imagine he's going to do well given what he's going to be given, which is time in these matches, you know?
Especially the reps in this bracket. Oh, let's get him a show. Let's get him with Clark Connors.
All these guys put on like 3.5 to 4.5 star matches in this tournament, you know, like every night consecutively. So Nick Wayne, I don't know if he's got that stamina, but I know like guys that necessarily didn't, because I don't think, and this is not a offense to Mike Bailey, he did a phenomenal job of speedball in the tournament, but not every match of speedballs in that tournament was a banger. Every one of them was good. Not every one of them was the match that he had with, I don't know, Master Wato or something like that. You know, like,
Man, speaking of Wato, it's nice to see him back.
Yeah, and I hope he wins again, by the way. I'm so down. I'm so down for them to make a new, like, super junior legend, you know? I don't know if he will, but it'd be sick if he did. You know, obviously, probably Nick Wayne's not winning the thing. Imagine if he did, though.
I'd be pretty big. I think in his block, I do think it'll be a foreigner. I'm thinking either Akira or Connors.
I think
that block specifically is very open to it. And then, yeah, our A block. I mean, you got Desperado and Takahashi. it's going to be hard for anyone else to slip through. I'd love to see Masawato. I'd love to see the return of Yo.
It probably comes down to those two, and it's a banger match, but Despy ends up getting beat. Or, I mean, Despy has won the junior. Didn't he win last year? Am I tweaking? Like,
no, he won last year.
Yeah, so he could go back-to-back. I mean, that's a real thing. You know, that is something they've done before, so he could do it. They could be throwing it back on Hiromu again, because I think if he wins it, I mean, that signals Hiromu's probably winning the title again, right?
Yep, just lost his tag title instantly, by the way, to Jeff Cobb and Callum Newman.
So there you go. So there's a good chance that he probably goes after that again if he does win it. So there's a lot of options in this tournament. What I can tell you on paper, this tournament is going to be a banger. I can just tell you.
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome. And we're going to follow it. Maybe not watch every match, but we're going to keep up with it at the very least and tell you what we think about it. Because, I mean, there have already been some insane matches from New Japan this year. I mean, my personal match of the year is still the first like real actual AEW match of the year that was like potential, which is Kenny versus, which is technically a New Japan match, really. You know, like, I mean, it's not. It's an AEW match.
Combo show, bro.
You know, yeah, exactly. So we get to count it. And so that's still, to me, nothing has touched that to me, right? So
Now, Dart, I know you like to dabble a little bit here and there in New Japan. Is there anything that sticks out to you from this? Any surprises? Do you see, like, I feel like on paper, the depth of the juniors is finally starting to really show again these past couple years. And that's with losing names like Leo Rush, like Mike Bailey. You know, Drilla Maloney's not in this tournament anymore. He's a heavyweight now. TJP's not here anymore. He's a heavyweight now. And it still looks like we got a pretty good, you know, a lot of the new guys here. I mean, this could be Kosei Fujita versus Francesco Akira in the final. Like, this could be Fujita's tournament. You know, is there anything that sticks out to you with this? Excitement to see some Nick Wayne action?
I'm always excited to see some Nick Wayne. Come on. Clark Connors, obviously.
Yeah.
El Desperado. Come on. I'm not going to lie. I am going to be blatantly honest with you guys. I know about four people in this tournament.
That's one of the things why I always ask, because if you don't really follow New Japan, I know you like to just kind of dabble here and there.
I dabble. Very minor.
Yeah.
Dabble.
One of those things, whenever you hear like one of the breakout stars, it can always kind of catch an eye. So, yeah.
Ron Eagles. All I'm saying.
The sniper of the sky. Yes. Love some
Robbie
Eagles.
Robbie.
Oi. Oi, oi, oi.
So let's jump into Dynasty now, and we'll give some predictions here. And then we'll, because we're going to talk about the Owen Hart Cup during this, and then we'll give you guys our final and our winner for the Owen Hart following this. All right. So let's start right off. We have one kickoff match announced. All right. And we'll let our guests take the lead here. Dart. Who do you got in Nick Wayne teaming up with Andretti and Leo Rush taking on AR Fox and Top Flight? And then Duke, you followed up after him.
All right. Nick Wayne, Crew, AR Fox, Top Flight. I'm going to pick Nick Wayne and Crew just based off of their name, because I love that name. It's just, it's simple. And I'm a big Action Andretti guy. And Top Flight, it just doesn't do it for me anymore. It used to be. It used to. But having the Crew and Top Flight having this feud for how long has it been?
Too
long.
I'm not even kidding. I think it's been like 5 months, and I don't know if they've had a real match. I don't think
they've had a progression in actual storyline.
They just need to get, I thought, you know, I would have been okay if this was just the Crew and Top Flight. Yeah. We didn't have to have a trios match. But, I mean, I think Nick Wayne and Crew go over.
Yeah. Duke?
Yeah, no, I agree with Dart here. I think it's, I mean, it's one of those things where if Top Flight and AR Fox win this, where are we going with this? Because clearly because it's a weird thing. I feel like if Crew and Nick Wayne win here, this is just done with. Because, like, I don't know where you go with it if you're Top Flight from there. I guess you're just mad that you lost, but I wouldn't want this to continue. So if we're going to end it here, have them do it. And then maybe, I don't know, have them post-match embarrass them or make them look like absolute fools so that they just don't want anything to do with them anymore. Because I want this to be over with so that the crew could actually be genuinely, I think, a really good tag team if they just let them loose. They've already shown off that they can do pretty good stuff in the ring. So I think they win here. Gives them a little bit of positive momentum. They got on the pay-per-view. Get this over with, please. We need more time on TV for other things, because you don't give it to it anyway, so why?
So here's where I'm at. I do think AR Fox and Top Flight have a better chance of staying a trio, and they're listing this as trios matches, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, I do think Nick Wayne and Crew will win this. Now, I think these are two storylines intertwined right now. Nick Wayne is definitely still, he's a part of the teeing up of Edge and Christian's reuniting, right? We need to get Christian to be the babyface again. And how do we get there? Well, you're sowing the seeds of Nick Wayne doing his thing. And now we're also going to need a reason to write Nick Wayne off TV, by the way, for a month. So keep an eye on that for the next month of storylines.
By the way, who the hell is Edge?
Exactly.
Yeah, who is that?
All I know is Surface and Corner.
All I know is
Cope. So I think that is one of the big reasons. I think this is just really a setup for Christian, but they put on the pre-show, so I don't know. A little torn on that. But I think that's ultimately where Nick Wayne's heading. But I got them and Crew winning. I got to tell you something else. I think Crew and Top Flight are just getting started in terms of matches. I think there's a very, very big chance that there is going to be a push for these guys to have a match at Double or Nothing against each other. I think whether that's the seventh match, whether that's a match for the titles somehow, like some, maybe they get in there involved with the Hurt Syndicate, right? I don't know. I think one way or another, these guys will be facing each other for the next month. So
I really hope you're wrong about that.
God. I think this is just the beginning of them on TV. But here's the thing. What if this kicks off a best of seven on Collision next week?
I'm in.
You know what I mean?
I'm with you. I've given up on there ever being another best of seven.
There's
going to
be another one.
It's yes, gonna be, in like 50 gonna be years.
It's going to be either
Tony
with
Khan
women.
Finally decides it's good enough, but he clearly doesn't think anything is good enough to match the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Bros. So, like, he clearly doesn't think that exists.
Hey, bro, come on. Elite Death Triangle. He knows.
He doesn't, but he doesn't think anything else is on that level. He's never done it. There have been so many opportunities where people had 2-3 matches, and I was like, man, this would be really great if we did this 4 more times. And it's like, nope, 3 seems to be the max in AEW yet. That seems to be it. You might get a 4th if the feud is good enough. I don't get why. It was a really brilliant thing that sold a shit ton of TV for a few like months almost.
Well,
you know,
it's
because
he banked it off the new title. It's either going to be a women's feud or the tag feud.
The war of the best of seven, I think, is still there. Because I think it was there for Cesaro and Sheamus, right? So, like, you know, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like,
we don't talk about the last best of seven that happened on SmackDown.
No, we don't. But
it was...
It didn't even finish.
Wait, it didn't get to all seven matches? Is that not
it? It went to seven. And
Was it a tag team best of series? Is that what it was?
It was Andrade versus Carmelo Hayes. It was tied 3-3 in seventh match, and it ended in DQ, and we haven't gone back to it since.
One of the most egregious things I've ever seen.
Wow.
All right, beyond that, Duke, your turn. You're up now. We're jumping into the men's Owen Hart Cup tournament. We got an opening round match. This is a feud here. Speaking of matches, I think this is number 3. Kyle Fletcher, Mark Briscoe. Who do you got?
All right. Mark Briscoe's not winning this. And that's not his fault. He's
match
in tournaments
4,
to lose.
By the way, my bad.
That makes sense. I think that sounds right. It probably one of them was just like a random one-off squash before a pay-per-view for Kyle, I'm guessing. I do remember one of their matches standing out, though, when we were like, I think it was one of our favorites. And we weren't just, because it wasn't just Kyle, it was Mark as well. We were like noting was really good in the match. Excuse me. Because Mark does have his moments. Yeah, Kyle Fletcher is winning here. Kyle Fletcher, I mean, look at the bracket. He's got to win here, right? Like, easily. So.
Could be.
I mean, if you're looking at the bracket objectively from like what's going to be the biggest potential third round match, in my mind, you at least want to tease the idea that Kyle can make it to Will, if Will is still in it at that point, right?
So that's why I think they're going to get
that done.
Even if
Will's not going to, even Will gets knocked out in the second round, right? You want that to be a potential match that you could be selling for that final, right? So I'm thinking. I guess that probably spoils what I'm going to do for my other pick, but I don't really care. You know, like, yeah, in my mind, that if I'm booking, like, to try and sell the future of the tournament, right, the semifinals and the finals, you want to make the biggest possible matches as the potential matches and look at what the other two matches potentially be if you put Will there. I'm not saying Kevin Knight can't deliver, but Will versus Brody, Will versus Kinosuke, either of those matches on its own seems like it would be a big deal for a TV or for even a pay-per-view, right? And then you take either of those two, Kinosuke or Will, versus either, you know, whatever my other two people are going to be, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, that's kind of how I'm looking at this. I'm looking at it as like the whole tournament. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, and no, they're crushing that shit right away because Mark Briscoe's winning this match. Mark Briscoe FYI will be fans, facing Hangman Adam Page.
FYI fans, he actually doesn't believe that. He's just trying to be different.
No, no, no. Mark Briscoe's winning this match. This is, there could be shenanigans afoot. I don't know how, I don't know why. Mark Briscoe's winning this match.
Just wants to be different, SMH.
Dude, they're constantly trying to push him above. He right now, Mark Briscoe is the definition of right down the middle. But he's constantly featured in all the big spots, right?
Yeah.
This is a feud that could go on.
Maybe.
This doesn't go on if Kyle doesn't fucking win. Or if Kyle doesn't lose.
Yeah, but it's so, Kyle, though.
That's where I'm at. I think... Look, Kyle versus Hangman is obviously a bigger match next round. I agree with that. But I don't know, man. I'm feeling Mark here.
Well,
we've had upsets so many times, and I think this is the only upset that can actually happen. So.
Well, hold on. Why are we automatically assuming Hangman's beating the wild card entrant?
Because we don't know. That wild card could be like, I don't know.
You know who it is.
You know who it is.
Of course, it's Wardlow. But Wardlow aside, it's always Wardlow. Until it's not Wardlow, you assume it's Wardlow. That is a rule of being a fan of this podcast. That's if there is the next time, you know what? Now that I say I'm on a soapbox now, the next time or one of the next times that fucking Max Caster does one of his things, if Wardlow doesn't come out and kill this man,
I think he's doing one the night. I don't think it's happening. It's over.
One of the next time. That's why I clarified. That's why I clarified one of the next times.
Nah,
if he doesn't
do it,
I will write a strongly worded letter to Tony Khan insisting upon Wardlow's return immediately to AEW television.
I want to know if he did, and I want to know who it was, just to rain on his parade.
Fuck you.
In canon, this is coming out after Collision, so.
I'm looking it up. It was Mark Briscoe.
Oh, nice. Okay. Easy dub. Dart, who do you got this one, Kyle or Mark?
Say his full fucking name. That's all I got to say.
And he appears. I believe in Kyle Fletcher. All right, I like it. I like it. All right, next up, Women's Owen Hart Cup Tournament quarterfinal match. Mercedes Moné versus Julia. Julia Hart. Yeah, I mean, on paper, this match is pretty fucking cool. It's a match I didn't really think of, but yet here we are for the title. And, you know, I think Mercedes is going to lose soon. I don't think it's to Julia, though. So I'm taking Mercedes on pay-per-view here. Dart, who do you got?
Sasha Banks.
Okay. Come on, Hey, you got the blueprint. That's who you got.
Hey, guys.
Duke, Mercedes, or Julia?
I mean, I'm going Mercedes here because, I mean, I think a similar reasoning to my previous tournament reasons. I mean, look at the bracket of the next match. I feel like we've teased this match. If it doesn't happen in the tournament, what? I mean, I guess it could happen after the tournament, but like, if they don't have a reason to hate each other in this tournament, like, I feel like there should be. Actually, I'll go even further. You should do both. You should have them face in the tournament, and that be the reason why they actually fight each other going forward. Not just because they had like some tizzy before the tournament, and then the tournament started, and they were like, actually, I'm going to jump into the tournament and then get my ass kicked by you, or not even make it to your round, because and then I'm going to get a title shot. Like, no, like we need them to face each other here. So
I want to fully disclose something before we move along.
Yeah.
If anybody comes at me for calling her Sasha Banks, take a joke.
Nah, bro. The Sasha stands will appreciate it. Come on.
That's true. Actually, there's a lot of people that refer to her, even in the AW community, as Sasha, which is really odd to me.
But there's some people. I know there's some people out there.
Look, bro, we had Mercedes Adam Ray calling him Tyler Black on what was that NFL show? Fuck, I'm blanking. Good morning, football? He was talking about
the Ring of Honor of old.
He called him Tyler Black to his face, and I thought that was respect. That was fucking awesome to call him Tyler Black.
And Seth Rollins' face was like, oh, he knows ball.
He's like,
this guy knows me from when I was peak. He knows ball.
It's just the worst part about him is he's a Bears fan. Sorry.
Oh, all right, Dart,
you're up first again. Wait, we all get ready, right? Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, Dart, this is the easiest one. Will Ospreay, Kevin Knight.
Kevin Knight.
Yep. Duke?
I mean...
Just dude, you can put that in the canon, bro. It counts.
Move along. Keep going.
I mean, the same logic as I was going with before. I think we're getting Will versus Konosuke again. I think that's where we're going.
This match was supposed to be Will Ospreay versus Jay White, but Jay White was injured, so Kevin replaced him in the tournament. Good on Kevin for already getting that spot and getting his first 100%. Pay-per-view match.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I think he's going to tear down the house in this match. I just don't think I think he's way too early in his career to be beating Will Ospreay. You know, like...
Yeah, this guy's drawing Will Ospreay on pay-per-view. Good for him.
Listen, 100%. we probably thought that when Private Party beat the Young Bucks 5 years ago. So anything's possible.
100%.
Anything's possible.
If he wins here, I'm going to be rooting for Kevin going forward in the entire tournament. That's just how that's going to work. Like
the ultimate underdog.
Straight up. In my mind, I want Will versus Konosuke again, so that's what I'm booking.
I mean, so far, what? All three of the new signings for 2025 are in this pay-per-view. So it's a good start. Good start. All right, Duke, you're up. We have our AEW World Tag Team Championship, the Hurt Syndicate with MVP versus the Learning Tree, Big Bill and Brian Keith. Is Big Bill becoming a two-time champ? Two-time?
No. No, he's not. All right, and this is where I have to be an asshole about it. Under over 10 minutes, boys.
Long under.
Yeah, it's a very under.
I think we set the over-under at 7.
You're probably right.
I'd take the over there. I'm thinking like a good like 8:27.
Okay.
I'm going to say 7.
A 4 minutes and 20 seconds is just flexing, right? Like
a little bit.
7 minutes 16 seconds. Write it down. We're doing this.
Hey, if they're going to give their first match to this team, it all depends on how much they've seen Big Bill, right? Here's the thing. It sounds ridiculous on paper, right? But if you're trying to make this team not ridiculous, that's one of the ways you do it right there.
What's one of the things we always say about Big Bill, too? Live crowds show up for Big Bill.
That's true.
The pay-per-view crowd is going to be reacting to every single thing he does.
That's what got him signed, because the crowd just liked the guy, you know? When he was W. Morrissey. Remember that? Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Jeez. What a horrible name. That is a horrible name.
That's almost as bad as Cope.
It's better than Cope. I'm going Hurt Syndicate here as well.
I'm going Hurt Syndicate. I'm going to say one thing before we move on. MJF helps the Hurt Syndicate.
Ooh! I like that. I'm in.
I'm going to go a step further than you. MJF attempts to help the Hurt Syndicate and causes them problems. That doesn't lose them the match, but almost costs them, and they get pissed at him. I think MJF shows up
at some point in this match.
Okay.
I'm willing to bet that he extends
this feud with him in the Hurt Syndicate, and then maybe it's MJF, and he has to, like, I don't know how MJF fights the entire Hurt Syndicate and doesn't
hold
die.
Hold on. Like, Charlie, you know what to do after I say this. Hurt Syndicate versus MJF and...
Son of a bitch.
Again! They're back, baby.
The pinnacle. What's Sean?
You know what? This is perfect, dude, because FTR are about to turn John heel Spears again, so then we can just reform the fucking North pinnacle. Championship. God damn it.
Sean Spears lost his North American championship to Ricky Saints.
He's back. He's coming back.
So... All I'm saying
is Sean Spears coming back to form the pinnacle.
We have three former AEW wrestlers in NXT feuding all together right now. It's perfect.
As intended.
It's intended.
All right, I'm up first.
How do you count Sean Spears? Because he's technically in developmental for the second time.
Listen, don't worry about it.
Listen, it's a new name, all right?
Don't worry about it. We don't know who the perfect 10 Ty Dillinger was, for all I know. He looked completely different, so.
Goddamn right. Okay.
What's better is Ty Dillinger.
Daniel Garcia versus Adam Cole for the AEW TNT Championship. Okay, so Danny's had an incredible reign. He's at 128 days, matching Jack Perry's 146. He can hang his head here. Adam Cole is your new TNT champion. And I think Danny, this is going to kick ass. I have a really good feeling about this match. One of our former pillars, you know, his title reign is going to look fucking beautiful on that resume. But I think it's Adam Cole's time. I see Adam Cole, you know, championing this belt through Double or Nothing and probably through All In this year. I think Adam Cole is just makes a lot of sense to me, just looking at it, how they've set this up. So that's where I'm at. Dart, Danny Garcia, Adam Cole, TNT Championship, match number three.
Adam Cole is the best wrestler alive.
Baby.
Adam Cole's the best wrestler alive. Always has been, always will be.
Adam Cole's stand account. You heard it here first.
He's your new TNT champion.
Okay. I'm with it. I'm
holding it for 3 years.
3 years?
Oh, God.
Duke, what do you got?
Until a returning Wardlow.
We're all in the simpatico on this one. I'm taking Adam Cole here. Yeah. And I have a couple of reasons why. Let me take you guys back to when Adam Cole first came back from his extended period of injuries. There was a lot of drama. Remember people saying he looks rusty, he doesn't look ready, he doesn't look right, he doesn't look like this, you know? People were saying things like this. I didn't see it. I personally didn't agree. Yes. Always there have been these comments made about Adam Cole throughout his career. It always felt like there was something. And then I will bring it up because it is relevant, because it was part of the last however many months building up to this. Then there was the Britt Baker drama, right? But it got out, and clearly that was a part of the conversation around Adam Cole, unfortunately. And seemingly it seems like it may have been the thing that led Britt Baker on the way out the door for sure. Cause who knows if she was going to stick around anyway, but I mean, you think she was going to do out the way? I thought I saw last night, but it could be.
She hasn't returned since the incident that happened with Serena D, where she really like no sold her gimmick and rubbed a lot of people the wrong way.
That's your next TNA Knockouts champion.
I don't know if she's still. I saw a post on X last night, not verified. Didn't look into it further. Don't know.
As far as I'm concerned,
she's still
on
the roster, but it feels like she's gone already. Like, I'll be honest with you, Charlie. Do you think we're going to see her again? I don't.
I don't feel as strongly as I did with Ricky that we don't see her again.
No, I'm with Dart. I think it feels a lot like Rafi. I think she just rides out the rest of whatever she has at home, and she's fine with that.
I think I found the tweet that you saw, and it was from the fake Russell Votes account.
Was it really?
The one without the R. It's Wessel Votes.
I mean, look, it's pay-per-view week, and a lot of people are going to throw shit at the wall and see what sticks, you know? Because you can always build credibility.
That's why
I said
it's unverified. If you guys, to be clear, going forward, I've never clarified this because I thought it didn't need to be, but just, you know, for the sake of the point while we're on it, if I ever say something's unverified, just know that you should take that with a fucking bucking load of salt, because I don't
unless it's from Fightful
sources.
Or fucking Zarian usually,
and even then Fightful has been wrong. Fightful
was
out there recording. What was the one big giant infamous one we told everyone don't believe that? It was something to do with the Punk drama, right, or something like that. Not to break kayfabe and say Punk, but I'm just for the
who's that? All I know is the Butcher.
That's right, when the Butcher broke kayfabe anyway. That time the Butcher was afraid for his life. But yeah, I mean, I
just feels like it's Adam Cole's time.
Oh, 100%. Like after all that shit and where we're at now and the fact that I didn't even think this soon we'd be at this point where Adam Cole is having it feels like a main event level feud with fucking Daniel Garcia right now, you know, like, and yes, it's a mid-card title, but it feels like the energy is there. He's pulling that out of fucking Danny right now. And I think this will both elevate Danny to the next level, and Adam Cole, I feel like he's needed to hold some gold for a while now in AEW. I mean, let's just be honest.
Would this be his first singles title?
I think so.
Yes, first singles title, yep.
I think he challenged for the TNT prior, maybe. Maybe not, actually.
So,
well, other than against Danny, obviously. But I mean, I think before that,
he's
held the ROH one.
That's correct.
Yeah, I think the only title he's challenged for is the world title.
That is also correct. Yeah. He challenged Adam Page in like his first like 4 or 5 months in the company.
And he won the Owen Hart. So
yeah, so he should have technically, theoretically, but back then the Owen didn't get you a world title shot, right?
That was just All In didn't exist.
Correct. So yeah, we didn't. God, that's how long we've been covered. We covered the first Owen. That's how long we've been doing this, Charlie. Wow, unbelievable. We also covered the first, C2. Fun stuff. Yeah, I guess let's move on. I'm so happy for Adam Cole. Yeah,
that was my last podcast I've been on.
It makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dart, you're up first here now. Or is it me?
I don't care.
I already lost. It doesn't matter.
The continuity's been lost.
The circle will be back either way. So, Dart, I'm throwing it to you here. Bandito versus Chris Jericho. Mask versus title. ROH World Championship. Is Bandito becoming Mr. Two-Time?
We were talking about this before we went live. It's a toss-up for me. A
lot of luchadors lose their masks nowadays.
At some point, luchadors lose their
masks. I think that's what makes this more interesting, right? It's not the fact that he could. We think, it means he's winning the title. That used to be the thing. Mask versus title used to always mean they were winning the title because most luchadors would never take off the mask, right? It feels like nowadays, I mean, especially with guys like Andrade and Rouge and whoever you want to say, who used to
Santos,
wear masks.
Santos Escobar.
They both wore masks at points in their careers. They no longer do. They almost earned the right to not have a mask anymore.
Angel
right?
Garza wore a mask before WWE.
There you go. And he took it off, and it has done wonders for his career.
Usually these
guys
are fucking handsome as hell, so it's like,
oh, 100%.
I believe there was a comment Triple H made way back where he's like, I can't believe that guy was wearing a mask.
Right? That's the whole thing with the mask. It's about honor, respect. You earn the mask as part of your training, right? Like, it's kind of like
Bandito's got a cool-ass mask.
Oh, 100%. And there's a lot of personality wrapped up in that. I wouldn't want to see him necessarily lose it, but if he was going to lose it, and then not be tied to the Ring of Honor title, which, listen.
I think we all want to say he's going to win the title because we don't want Chris Jericho to have the title anymore.
Chris is going to bring this thing into fucking Texas if he wins today.
So here's the thing about that. I actually think he is. And here's the reason why I think that. Because I don't think the trajectory Bandito is on, you stick him in Ring of Honor right now. I just think that would be ridiculous.
That would feel like a gut punch to Bandito to fucking jump. But none of these guys go to Ring of Honor full time, so it doesn't even matter. That's the fucking other thing. But he just returned.
Yeah, it's like, do you want to keep Ring of Honor in the shits where the only interesting thing to see on it is Athena, right? And Athena's orbiters, right? And like, which I don't know if that's still true anymore. I keep saying that. I'm sure there's good stuff on there. There always was before, but I'm being a dick about it because this is just the reality of when you don't watch Ring of Honor, how it seems to you, right? But I doubt Jericho is there weekly. I would be shocked. I would be mind blown if Jericho was on Ring of Honor, actually doing Ring of Honor television weekly, like legitimately, like not just showing up for a TV segment and then like that he could record it literally any Dynamite that he could show up at or Collision taping, you know? Like, I don't think. Yeah, in my mind, I don't think it's going to be good for him to be on the championship, holding the championship there. But I equally don't want Bandito to be banished to Ring of Honor. That is not something I want. I hate that I have to refer to it that way at this point, but it would be a banishment. The guy came back with a tidal wave of momentum. They built it up with these cool segments. They set up this cool character of him as the fucking bandit, you know? And you're just going to, to me, it'd be an interesting character development to see him lose his mask and see what he does with that. A bandit that has to show his face? What do you do with that? I don't know, but he could do something interesting.
Dart, which one are you landing with? Jericho or Bandito?
Bandito.
Yeah, I think I'm ultimately landing in the Bandito camp as well. I just... It's the fact that he got that concussion. They started this feud, he got the concussion. And when he returned, they continued it. They didn't have to do that. Makes me think they've got plans for Bandito with the Ring of Honor title. And look, I have significant doubts about that. Like that could be a good thing. because I really don't want to see this title defended on AEW consistently. That's not what I want. I don't want it to be paraded around in AEW. I like it to be on its Ring of Honor.
We got way too many titles already. We don't need a Ring of Honor. It
feels like
an
extra singles belt, and that's not what this title should feel like. So, yeah, I got Bandido, and I have significant doubts about what that could mean for him. Okay, Duke, you're up here. We have the Death Riders versus Rated FTR, Cope, Cash, and Dax. Trios match for the AEW World Trios Championship. Who you got?
I think I've been thinking for a while that I wanted the Trios Championships to be off the Death Riders, and I wanted them to be used again. We have this opportunity here to put it on a really good team, right?
Get Cope some more gold, get FTR back some gold for the first time in a long time.
Yep. And that's right, I forgot Cope has been TNT champion. That was a thing that happened.
Two time.
Correct.
Do we really want to count that person?
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's in the books. So.
It's in the books for about 5 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, anyway.
It's a Rey Mysterio level fucking.
It really is. I think the problem is you have this feud with Cash and Dax right now, and kind of one with Dax and Cope a little bit. And I think that might be the first match that we're going to have with our reunited Christian and Cope would maybe be against FTR. And who else could you put him against better, right? To start things off with them as a tag team again, right? So because of that, I actually think the Death Riders will retain here, which I don't know what that's going to mean for what happens in the main event. I don't think that's going to change what happens there regardless, but I don't see you putting the Trios titles on guy. Cause here's the reason why I think that would be a bad idea. Title's been in the bag similarly to the world title for blah, blah, blah months now, right? We've seen it defended a handful of times.
221 days.
And we've seen a handful of defenses that were, some of them were good, some of them were, I mean, they were fine. They weren't, like, spectacular, you know? Some of them sure fit into that Headlock City territory. And if you then put it on a team that's then going to go through growing pains and then have a feud within themselves for, I mean, I would want that feud to be more than just a couple of weeks, you know? I want them to actually do something with that so that it means something. Then you're putting the titles back in the bag again because you're not going to have them defending them while they're having these issues. And if you do, it's just going to be ridiculous.
You can easily hold it till Double or Nothing.
So that being said, I think I have the Death Riders retaining here because I think I'd much rather get the bonus stories that we could potentially spin out with Cope, with FTR potentially going on a one-on-one, you know, with each other, which we've never seen them do it for an extended period. I think the opportunities are just too great to take the titles off the Death Riders right now.
Yeah, I made a good point. But if one goes down, they all go down. The Death Riders are not holding gold when Moxley loses it. Not happening. They're all losing it. Rated FTR is going to hold this thing. I think they're going to do the inner beef for like until Double or Nothing. And now, because I agree with you, I think Edge and Christian, their first match as a tag, like their first big match, will be FTR, and it's going to be at All In. That's in July. They can hold these titles for the next 6 weeks, and it's going to be a million times better than holding them in the fucking bag like Death Riders are doing. I just don't see a booking decision where you have Moxley lose, but these guys still hold it. I don't see that happening.
I agree with you, but I also don't agree with these guys winning. Putting Moxley's this on winning. A feud that should be dealt with before they become like becoming champions. Fine, people win champion. MJF and Adam Cole won the goddamn Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships, and they were barely even friends. You know, like so. You can win with people that you're not familiar with. That's not what my contention is here, but. Should they be able to then convincingly defend the titles?
That's going to be the fun of it. You got 6 weeks. So
for that long while we try and work the feud out.
Could be more. Could be much
and,
more.
And with that, I mean, how many defenses are really going to get? Because you also have to have the Dax and Cash having matches with each other at some point to settle the beef, right? So where do you fit this on TV?
It all depends on how close we are to that. I don't know yet. I mean, that's...
If it's going to be a slow burn that they're not actually mad at each other yet, but then somewhere along the lines in the title reign, that's when it's going to be the final straw. What happened so far needs to be addressed.
Yeah,
at this point,
they did a good job with it on Dynamite, which, you know, Dart, where are you at with this? Death Riders, Rated FTR. You kind of seeing the viewpoints we're bringing to the table a little bit.
I see both sides. I can see the Death Riders holding it just because of the inner beef between Rated FTR. And FTR.
Having those guys cost themselves the victory is the easiest thing you can do.
It makes
a lot of sense with how it's been booked the past couple weeks.
Being said, I've had Collision on throughout this. I've been going on my Twitter feeds too. There was some cohesion between them three.
Oh yeah, they had that interview with Renee too. They kind of started to gel some stuff out.
Cash and Cope helped Dax up after whatever segment they had. I didn't really catch it, but I can see Rated FTR winning. I think for these, however long they would hold those titles, I think they just want to get a trios title on them three because they're so close. I think it's just Rated FTR wins.
And it gets more type, more gold on Cope. So this is going to be one that's going to be really interesting to follow. I could see this, honestly, maybe opening the show. That'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. This is why it's probably good that I don't book wrestling, because I would get stuck on shit like this and not be able to finish the card in time. This is what would happen, like, straight up. Like, I'd be like, no, we can't have them win because Dax needs to beat the shit out of Cash first. That's how this works.
Oh, yeah. No, like, don't worry.
We can do that. It's a wrestling show. We're in charge.
What's that line? You're either fighting or fucking. Yeah, they'll exactly. be getting down to that. So
exactly.
I'm up. Kenny Omega, Ricochet, Speedball Mike Bailey, AEW International Championship.
Duel of the Fates fucking kicks in.
This feels really easy, and I just don't think I'm gonna overthink it because, again, there's sometimes the writing's on the wall, and that's a good thing. Kenny Omega colliding with Okada just seems to be the writing on the wall, man, and I think it's going to be for both belts. It's just I'm fully in that caravan, if you will. So really excited for Speedball to get a pay-per-view shot. Good for him. Good for Megan Bain and good for Kevin Knight all getting featured. That's a great sign. Ricochet. If Ricochet wins, let me throw this out there. If Ricochet wins, I think it'll be because interference, and it'll be his wife showing up as his new manager. And I think that could be a whole angle. And I think if they do that, it's because they got cold feet about combining the belts, or maybe this has always been the plan for Kenny to put over Ricochet, right? This is going to really determine how high they see Ricochet in the company, because I don't think there's a 0% chance that Ricochet doesn't win the title. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
I forgot they might combine the belts.
Yeah, that is a very, very big thing.
I believe Andrew Zarian
also talked about that too. So it feels like there is some legitimate backstage talk to that. Dart, you got the triple threat: Omega, Ricochet, and Speedball. First of all, this match is going to kick ass. But
this match,
where are you leaning right now?
Personal preference. I hope it's Kenny. If Kenny were to lose, I don't think he gets pinned. I do like your Samantha Irvin. I do like that.
If Ricochet shows up, and if she wants to be a manager.
I do, and she would be, that would be obviously the only person she would manage because it's her husband. I'm going to stick
you with say that, gut. But then we had Lana come in, and she'd managed everyone but Rusev.
Let's hope Shut they up. Learned their lesson from that. That was a yes. lesson to be learned. Let's hope.
And look where they both are, not in the company anymore.
Hashtag we were elite.
that's an amazing match. I'm going to go with my gut. I'm going to say the best bout machine, Kenny Omega.
I like it. Duke?
Right. I haven't had anything like that was wacky and out there this one yet, I don't think, so far. Here it finally came to me, and it's with this one. All right. And this is not happening, by the way, but this is just like, this is the thing that would make me pop the hardest. So
Wardlow comes back and makes it a fatal four-way. All right,
fair enough. That is the thing that would make me pop the hardest. But that's neither here nor there. War Dog's not in this match. I can't insert War Dog everywhere I want to. All right. I can only insert Wardlow in so many places. Pause. Anyway, but
that's a little wild, but
he does what he wants. Well.
Anyway. But anyway, so my wild wacky prediction for this one is that Ricochet will have hit some kind of move, or maybe I'll even go as this far. Kenny Omega hits a V trigger. Mike Bailey sent out of the ring, tumbles out, right? And then we have Ricochet somehow get the upper hand over Kenny Omega, maybe with a help from Samantha, possibly.
That would be a big pop.
With that being said, Kenny Omega doesn't ever rise to his feet. And, you know, he's been getting double teamed this whole time. They're not going to team up, but, you know, he's fighting two people. He's going to have been hit with some big moves at some point, more than likely, right? So, you know, at this point, they've probably been fighting, I'm guessing, like 15 minutes or something like that, or however long the match goes. And Ricochet will be about to hit his finish, whether it's the, you know, the senton off the top or the spirit gun, I believe is what it's called, right? And which is the hidden blade, but it's the Ricochet version, you know. And
it's the Timu version,
the Timu assassination. Anyway, Ricochet's emote finisher. Anyway, as he's doing that, Mike Bailey's gonna like either throw him off the top rope, you know, block him from hitting his move. Mike Bailey will come in and win the title. After, you know what, actually, I even say he'll hit his finisher, but then Mike Bailey will come to on the floor, throw his ass out, and win the title. And I'm going to tell you why I think that is. Because I don't understand why he's in this match. I'll be honest with you. If he's not going to have a one-on-one with Kenny. And this sets that up. Because if he doesn't pin Kenny, but say he pins Ricochet, that could set that up.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think Kenny gets pinned if he loses.
So maybe even Kenny does come to, hit something on Ricochet, and then Kenny's the one, you know, he's like, maybe he's half still with it because he was just, you know, about to be finished himself, right? And then he gets tossed, fucking win. And that would be sick. And I want Speedball to win, so I'm going to root for him, but I don't think it's happening. So just so everyone's clear, that's not happening, but that would be awesome if it did. And you all like know it. You'd pop at home if Mike's fucking Speedball motherfucking Bailey became the champ.
That's three different... You know, we just brought a lot of energy to a match that I think most people are just going to kind of buzz over and say Kenny. So I like that. I like that. That's good shit. All right, Dart. You got first pick here. Timeless. Timeless Toni Storm.
Did you think she misses, had forgotten?
Misses four time.
What makes you think that I've forgotten?
That's too good. Miss four time champion. Versus AW Megan Bain, who has been booked like a god. Okay.
Well, she is a goddess. So
that's the fucking megacist to you, sir.
Yes, that is fair. Who do you got in Timeless Toni Storm with Lutha versus Megan Bain for the AEW Women's World title?
You know, I really think that it's too soon to take the title already off of Toni. I'm going to say Toni here. I think we come back to this match a little bit later. Whether it's, what's the next preview? Is it All In?
It's Double or Nothing and then All In.
I think we come back to this match Double or Nothing. Okay. Whoever wins that match, we'll see who wins the Owen. But yeah, I'm going to say Timeless Toni Storm because okay. I have not forgotten.
That's fair. That's fair. Duke, have you forgotten? Is it Timeless Toni Storm time?
I have not forgotten, nor has Toni Storm. She's going to retain. I do think this actually could get some time. I think they could go full David versus Goliath with this. I think they trust Toni enough. I think she usually does get time on pay-per-views anyway. Her Mariah matches all have a pretty good amount of time. Also, I just want to say, like, I think Megan Bain is going to – this is going to be her coming out party. I think we've seen Megan Bain have squash and squash and squash and squash. similarly to when Camille got on pay-per-view, remember? Against Chris Statlander, and they tore the fucking house down. Or sorry, not on pay-per-view. I think that was a TV match. My bad. But they built it up like it was a pay-per-view match anyway, you know?
Yep.
So I think similarly, you put her against the women's GOAT in AEW, it's not even a question, you know? Like, she's going to probably show out, I would hope, you know? So I'm expecting a really, really, really good match.
Well, both women's and men's world champions are the aces of AEW. So
That's fair.
It's always open. You can, whenever they're champions, you can always be on the lookout for them putting someone unexpected over. And
you can say what you want about this Jon Moxley title reign. There have been some absolutely phenomenal main events out of it. So,
oh, it doesn't take away what he does for AEW.
100%.
And I'm gonna throw this at you guys, man. Here's the thing. I think Megan Bain has significantly higher odds than Deonna Purrazzo did, right? And that's the only thing I can kind of compare this to in terms of a championship defense is Deonna Purrazzo was relatively new to the company. And then she fought Toni Storm. They did a really personal angle with it. And it was pretty good, right? But they didn't wait. They ended up kind of being like, ah, Deonna went and did her own thing for a long time. Deonna's still doing her own thing. Didn't even get in the Owen Hart Cup, for example, right? So it feels like with Deonna, she's kind of build herself back up again, one way or another. Megan Bain, I don't see.
Never lost an ounce of steam for a second. Kind of similar.
If you really want.
You compare it to, you know who never lost an ounce of steam on their way up recently? Fucking Mariah May.
Yeah. Mariah was around the title for a lot longer, and she won the Owen Hart Cup. I don't think there's a zero. Like, I don't know, man. I feel really good about these odds. So much so, I think Megan Bain's going to win this. And I really don't know why I feel like this. Because I feel stupid even thinking out loud, because whatever Owen match you want to pitch, it always feels a little easier to do it against Toni Storm. Maybe there's one person I could say Megan feels a little bit better against than Toni. That's Statlander. So it depends. If you think Statlander's going to win this tournament, maybe you could definitely lean more Megan. But I don't know. This just feels like such a big opportunity. I almost get vibes similar to when Paige kind of showed up and won the Divas Championship, right? It was a big moment. Didn't waste any time with her. Of all the times when someone just kind of shows up and wins a title, and all the success we just had with Mariah May, forget about it. I think you strike now with Megan Bain. You make a new star.
Okay, can I add to your argument here a little bit, just partially? Yeah. Is Megan Bain not someone that, like, from when we started this podcast, like, within a year or two, we knew of that name potentially coming to AEW? Like,
the rumor in early 2023 was she signed to AEW and was sent to train in Stardom.
2 years ago.
It looks like that turned out to be true.
So, that being said, because she wasn't Stardom.
It's never been confirmed by Tony, but that does feel like it was true.
If it wasn't, I mean, she may have not been signed, maybe per se, because maybe legally you can't do that. You can't sign someone to a contract to go sign a contract with another company and then work for them unless you own that company or something like that, maybe. Or maybe there's some.
I don't know how excursion contracts work. I have no idea.
To be honest with you, even if she was signed to AEW, it really makes no difference because it's not like it changes anything about who she is as a performer, yeah. how she performs. So all of that is just independent of all that. So. But that being said, if that is true, let's just assume it's true for the sake of argument, right? For the sake of argument, say it's true. If that's true, and she came in, was treated like a monster, has not lost to anybody that should not have lost to, is on a tidal wave of momentum to the point where she's in the world title match at one of the big pay-per-views. I mean, like, is that a recipe for a championship win if there's that much momentum behind you from the company? I mean, it worked for Jade. Now, Jade didn't go off and train for 2 years, but the company was behind her on her run up. And she never lost.
They probably would have done it 6 months earlier had they already had the fucking title. The TBS title already there.
To be fair, yeah, it's possible, yeah. So, is that mean? I don't know. What does any of that mean? I don't know. Dart, do you have any thoughts on this before I toss it back over to Charlie? Because that just came into my mind while we were talking about this.
I don't think it has anything really. I don't think I have anything really.
She's 26. Anyway, just saw all that success. She's so young. She's probably minimally got 3 years on her contract. 26? I mean, she's only 26, dude.
Damn.
Like, this could be the, she could be the future of the fucking business type good. I just don't see why you don't try it. We're talking, our first champion was Riho. Like, they sent it. They tried it. And it was a success. Britt Baker was a success. She had under 100 matches before she joined AEW. Like, there's precedent to this. Jamie Hayter. Isn't the argument they waited a little
too long? You know what? If we think about the history of AEW Women's World Champions too, Thunder Rosa was not even supposed to be signed to AEW ever. She was just being brought in as a one-off because she was champion in NWA at the time and it was very hot on the indie scene. But she was, there was never, I don't think they planned on, I mean, maybe they did plan on bringing her in, but I don't think, when we were seeing Thunder Rosa show up on the one, when she showed up and we was like, oh my God, that was really good, that performance. I forget if she even wrestled, but she just randomly showed up and had a really great match. Back before we were even covering this, you just happened to have a random episode of Dynamite on, I think, when we were all hanging out. And I was like, what is this? Is this AEW? Okay. And then I was actually kind of impressed by that performance. So, you know, like, you can make a name for yourself and then AEW will know that. I mean, you know, you might have, like, I'm still obviously sticking to my prediction, but, like, I could see the argument for sure.
Yeah.
I can see the argument.
Yeah. Main event time, Duke. You got the pick here. John Moxley, Swerve Strickland. Is it Mr. Two-Time? Or are we keeping up with the...
Christian Cage shows up with a lawyer who confirms that his contract was actually never legally voided, and Christian Cage is the champion now. Anyway,
I'm in.
He shows up with Mark Sterling.
I would have loved to get Christian Cage's name on this, with how hard he worked. I just don't see it happening anymore.
There's no way. But
look, Samoa Joe got his opportunity, so you never know. But
hey, it's Christian Cage may get a world title shot yet. Why not? What would it hurt? He's had world title shots in the last couple of years. Didn't he have one against Swerve? Am I tweaking?
Look, he's had them.
Maybe he didn't against Swerve, but I swear he had at least one against one of the current or recent champions, I should say. Either way, even if he didn't, it doesn't really matter because he's had one in the last like 3 years. So, you know, it's Swerve's winning the championship. If Swerve doesn't win the championship, we riot. That's the rule. If you're in the stadium, you have to riot if Swerve doesn't win. I'm sorry. I don't make the rules. I just enforce them.
It's Mr. Two Time. It's got to be Swerve. It has to be it. Mr. AEW, it's all led to this. You have Swerve. When is wrestling the hottest? During the summer. He's your champion during the summer. He's the guy you want to be your face of AEW. And how do you have him do that? You have him beat your ace. I just don't see any way you don't. Oh my God. We'll talk about what happened
on
Dynamite.
Does it feel like a passing of the torch of that title from Swerve? Does it feel like Swerve becomes the ace if he wins this match?
Not yet. I mean, Moxley's, you know, he'll be our guy probably for another year or two minimally. And then he'll always be the ace of AEW. Just like we thought, you know, Britt was probably going to be the women's division. But it just at some point ended up being Toni Storm in the past couple of years. So, yeah, I got Swerve here all day, every day. And it'll be fun talking about Moxley's title reign on Sunday if this is the case.
Alternatively, if for some reason Swerve were to not win, what do you think his trajectory is going forward?
I don't see a trajectory. I a full crash out, and I don't think we need that. We've already seen crash out from Swerve fully, so yeah, I don't know. I just don't see it. That's just the strongest case for him to be champion, because there is no direction with him losing here.
Okay, so did we get Dart's lock?
Dart, what do you got? Are you locked in with Swerve?
Swerve.
All right.
Under over 30 seconds of Nana hitting the... I'm just going to call it hitting the Nana.
Far over. There was one match announced since we've been doing this show, and we're going to rapid fire. It's Max Caster's Open Challenge.
All right, prediction for who you think it's going to be. I already know who I think it's going to be. I believe it is going to be the newest potential signing that we have coming into AEW. I think it is going to be Josh Alexander.
Okay. Dart?
That was the man I was trying to think of. I knew there was somebody that was a free agent, it's probably Josh Alexander.
That would be the big one. And look, that would get every single new. I'm not forgetting someone, am I, when I say that? I don't think there's a 2025 signing I'm missing.
Cedric is currently not available, right?
Yeah. He still can't be. Yeah. So Kevin Knight, Mike Bailey, Megan Bain, and potentially Josh Alexander are the four rumored signings for AEW in 2025 so far. Guys, I think that makes a lot of sense. But it's Anthony Bowens. Sorry.
It's pay-per-view. I don't want these to go away.
No, that's true.
They've saved this for the pay-per-view. Anthony Bowens' return on the pay-per-view. This is where you kick it off.
Hold on. Where's Bowens from? Is Bowens from Texas?
I no idea. I think he's from LA.
He's from LA. Do we have any shows coming up this year in LA?
He's from New Jersey, is where he's trained.
He's from New Jersey.
Close enough. Philadelphia. He's from Nutley, New Jersey. It's close enough.
That's fair. Because I think he stays in LA now, but
Whatever.
Based off his YouTube stuff.
Blue Sky, definitely.
So two there's Josh one Bowens. Who give me another one?
Let me think.
Dart. Who do you have?
Wardlow.
Of course, obviously. Wardlow.
I would love it, man.
I think either Alexander or Bowens, one of those two, or Billy Gunn.
Has Joe come out for one of these yet? Is that when he returns?
Yes, he has, right?
Did he return on this, or was it just after he came back?
Maybe Hook did one.
No, Hook and Shibata answered this.
So that would make a lot of sense.
If it was going to be all three of them.
Because I think you can take your pick. I think our wild card is either Bowens or Alexander, and I think this is either Bowens or Alexander. So we're all in the same boat here. And the last thing let's talk about. Go ahead, Dart.
All of his open challenges have been Roosh, Adam Page, Brody, Jay White, Brando. No, that never mind. Takeshita, Hook, and Mark Briscoe.
Okay, yeah. So they've all been really good. I do agree. Bowens is the end of it.
Maybe I just thought they would with Shibata, and they never did. Yeah, I guess the ops just got in there because they wanted to squash for the ops. Fair enough.
So let's do our Owen Hart Cup predictions since we're kicking off the tournament so far. And our next show, we're probably going to be like fucking knowing one of the finals at this rate. So I guess best way to do this, let's give our men's final and winner and our women's final and winner in the same thing here. So since you ended that, it's my turn first. So, okay. All right, guys, you know where this is going. I got Hangman Adam Page in the final, and I have him facing Will Ospreay. Look, I just had Swerve win the world championship. Hangman's going to beat Ospreay at Double or Nothing. It's Hangman versus Swerve at All In. It's always been that. Don't overthink it. This is the way. This is the way. Hangman is your men's Owen Hart winner. And on the women's side, Jamie Hayter or Chris Statlander in that semifinal is so hard to pick. I'm going to take Jamie. And I'm going to have her face Mercedes in the final. I don't want someone to fucking get a cheap win over Mercedes as her first loss. So maybe I should just have Athena in the final. That match is going to be so hard to predict, Mercedes versus Athena. Either way, I got Jamie winning this thing. So I'm going to have her beat Mercedes in the final for now. Talk to me in 3 weeks. But yeah, so my winners would be Megan Bain versus Jamie Hayter at All In, or maybe Megan Bain versus Tony Storm, and Hangman Adam Page versus Swerve Strickland at All In. Dart, back to the clockwise. You're up again here. So who do you got for your men's, and who do you got for your women's?
Well, we're in the match for the men's. I think Will versus Hangman.
Okay.
We've been talking about the champions to come since MJF, pretty much. We all said it was going to be, I think, who took it off MJF? Joe, right?
Yep, Joe.
Joe, and then it was Swerve.
Swerve, yep.
Then it was Mox.
So there's some shenanigans in there. Danielson was in there, too.
That Danielson, that's right. I think we've kind of hit it on the head. I think Hangman wins. Hangman versus Swerve it all in. Think we get Mr. Two-Time Hangman out of Paige.
Okay.
Winning that title. And on the women's side, I'm going to go a little different than yours.
Let's hear it.
I think this match has already happened, but I'm just kind of wanting it to happen again. Billy Starks versus Athena.
Okay. So you had Starks beating Hayter.
Yes.
I love that.
That's Billy Starks. To be clear, this match has already happened. They've had two Ring of Honor final battle main events, I believe, if I remember correct, Charlie, right?
Billy and Athena?
I believe so.
Yeah, I'm out. Never mind. Jamie Hayter's winning this thing. I think it's going to be Jamie versus Athena. I think Mercedes takes her first loss to Athena.
So. These semifinal matches are so hard to predict for the women's. That is such a good thing. That is such a good thing. Shows the depth. Yeah,
Jamie, Athena. Jamie winning it all. We have Toni Storm versus Jamie Hayter.
Yep. If Jamie's back on track, let me give you a pitch real quick. If Jamie loses this, it's because of Mariah, and we're doing Mariah versus Jamie. All right? And
that could be your feud. That could be
your case for Billy Starks to win this battle. But I also think that would play into Statlander winning. There's so much. Duke, let's hear it. What do you got?
All right. So I'm the same for men's. Will Ospreay versus Hangman Adam Page. I mean, that's just a match I got to see. I have to have that match. That match sounds like it would fuck. But for the women, I'm looking at this bracket, man, and it's a lot closer of a bracket than the men's. Like,
yeah. Those semifinal matches are going to be nearly impossible to predict.
Like, could we not see Julia Hart winning this match, losing the second round match? Next pay-per-view, she gets another shot at Mercedes, you know? Like,
I don't see her losing Mercedes. Or I don't see Mercedes losing.
I mean,
not on pay-per-view.
I mean, Julia Hart has to start winning at some point. Like,
yeah, but not against Mercedes.
Not against Mercedes. I
hate this argument, because who are you going to have her win against if you're not going to have her win against your fucking major star that you're supposed to be using to build up other stars?
Anybody else.
That's what you just said. She has to be built up to beat her. Mercedes is the top dog champion.
Maybe Mercedes shouldn't be in this tournament then.
Exactly. But you got to make your tournament loaded.
Okay, maybe Mercedes then shouldn't be a champion walking into this tournament. How about that? Because then she could lose and it wouldn't be the end of the world, because she could go challenge for another title.
Here's the thing, though. If you have Julia beat Mercedes on Dynasty, unless they're already having Athena fucking cheat Mercedes out, maybe. I just don't know.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying Julia's winning. I'm saying the fact that we were just, like, riding her off.
And this is as big of a write-off as Kevin Knight, in my opinion. Mainly because it's on pay-per-view.
I think it's on pay-per-view. It's Mercedes Moné. She hasn't lost. You're not having her lose her first match. No disrespect to Julia Hart.
Hasn't lost a singles match.
It's just, I don't think, it just can't. You can't.
I mean, Julia can't be in. Sorry, Julia. Mercedes can't be invincible forever. That's all. I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe infinite undefeated streaks are bad for business ultimately, because then you get into a situation like this where you're like, well, she shouldn't lose here, but Julia should kind of maybe have a chance to win here. If we're being honest, like, Julia's career.
I wholeheartedly disagree. The only person like Julia, Harley, and Billy, I just don't see it. Not in this tournament. Not everyone they're facing has momentum. That's the problem. And if you book against momentum, well, then you're just dooming your fucking product. That you cannot book against momentum.
If we're being like that, then what? Julia Hart gets great reactions from the crowd. Harley Cameron is one of the most over women's fucking division stars right now because of a feud she just had for the TBS championship, which, by the way, they only were able to accomplish because Mercedes Moné is such a goddamn great star that is able to bring the best out of other people, which is what I'm advocating for here.
Now, like, I'm going to make a point. AEW is not the feds. They do not put titles on people based on popularity and over with the crowd. Jey Uso. But I'm a big Jey Uso guy, just letting you know. But this is an AEW podcast. Harley Cameron is one of the most over people, but all eight of these women are some of the most over women in AEW. So we could say that for everybody.
Doesn't that strengthen the argument that any of them could potentially win? Like,
getting her in the tournament is more than enough.
I think. Well,
you it could just, be Deonna Purrazzo. You didn't know
her in the tournament. What exactly, Charlie?
You're in the tournament. You're wrestling on pay per view.
But what's her role in the tournament going to be? Though?
Wrestling on pay per view.
Wrestling a great match with Mercedes.
Harley Cameron doesn't get the pay per view match.
Ultimate outcome of the match for her?
Losing to the fucking champ.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stepping stone. Moving on. Julia Hart's off TV another 4 months, you know? Like,
wasn't Swerve also a stepping stone at one point?
Yeah, and then Swerve used that as momentum.
Wasn't Jamie Hayter also a stepping stone at one point?
I don't see Julia Hart getting the same amount of TV time that Swerve Strickland did to work out why he should be world champion. Like,
all right, so you got Julia Hart winning the tournament? Is that what
no,
I hear?
I don't have that.
I'm so confused.
I don't know. We got really stuck on this point about Julia Hart for
you
some reason.
You got stuck.
No, I didn't. You guys were like certain. I was like, I said it was close. This all started because I said this tournament is a lot closer than people have been saying. Like,
it absolutely is.
For three of the four women's matches.
Well, this is closer than Billy versus Jamie to me, at least. Actually, closer than Harley versus Athena. The most lopsided match is Kevin versus Ospreay.
Yeah.
My point was just to say that I don't think like so I'm gonna have somebody in my final that I think might be surprising to some people. So my final is gonna be Jamie Hayter versus Athena, and the reason why
I said Jamie Hayter versus Athena.
Yeah. Okay, not going to expect it based on the last like 10 minutes of conversation, not based on what other people had said in this podcast.
Athena versus Mercedes is a 50-50 in semifinals.
It really is.
That all depends on how confident they are.
It's a coin flip.
If they want to do the Athena thing at Double or Nothing, or yeah. I mean, Stad versus Hayter is also 50-50, if we're being honest.
I think it comes down to this. Both Athena versus Toni Storm and Mercedes versus Toni Storm are going to happen at some point. Which one are they doing first? That's what we're deciding right now, right? Basically, like,
I'm just hoping they're doing this match in the semifinal instead of the final. Because if they were in opposite sides of the bracket, then we would know what the final would be.
Oh, 100%. That's why they did that.
No, we wouldn't. Because they're not winning the tournament. That's the thing you keep missing. Mercedes and Athena are not winning this tournament. They had to be on the same bracket because they're fighting it all in. And if they don't fight it all in, what the fuck has anything been doing? It's all been, they were the poster for All In, them and Swerve. That being said, who you got winning? You got Athena winning?
No, I have Jamie Hayter winning.
Yeah.
Jamie Hayter.
Now look, we all are probably wrong, because it's probably going to be Statlander winning, but that's okay.
I'm in.
And I really hope people are listening to this before the pay-per-view. We just fired them all up. This is the shit you tune in for, boys. Ladies, gentlemen, NBs, all of the above. You tune in for the good shit.
All right, Vince.
Duke, anything you wanted to close out with?
I believe young wrestlers should be able to beat veterans convincingly on pay-per-view to be able to raise their stock.
I totally agree. Not in a tournament like this.
But not now.
Did I ask a question? Okay, then just to center in on that, what I'm getting at here is, why are these tournaments involving these young people? If the point
is, just had Ricky Starks and Willow win the last ones.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So
why can't they win then? That's precedent.
Okay. All right. Hold on.
Because Julia's not in the momentum state.
Hold on. There's a reason why we're so against Julia, not against Julia winning, but we're so.
You can say the same thing for Mark and Kevin Knight as well.
Exactly. Julia just doesn't have the momentum that you would need to beat somebody like a Mercedes on pay-per-view in the first round of the Owen. if this was just a regular match, sure.
Yeah. But if this was on Dynamite and it wasn't for a tournament, 100%.
I could give you the argument Julia could quit. But Julia Hart, they're going to save Mercedes' first singles loss for somebody that has so much more momentum than Julia.
That's why it's got to be either Athena.
It's got to be a Hater.
Or there's, maybe there's Statlander. There's
three people in this match that can do it, and it's Athena, Hater, and Statlander. Statlander's versed her twice. She's lost both.
I mean, that if we're talking best story. Wait,
hold on.
Statlander beating her at Double or Nothing probably makes the most sense for best story.
Why are we acting like Julia's a rookie?
We're not.
She was technically, and I was, because I was fucking with you a little bit, but like, here's where I'm at. She was TBS champion before Mercedes.
Yes. Correct. That's probably why they're doing the match.
But when she had the injury.
So how is she not of a quality that somebody could beat Mercedes? She should be considered as much of it, not as much in terms of like veteranness and been around the business and stock value. But like, if we're talking about like, could win this match, she should be able to win this match. She was champion for like 150 days.
It's just not where she's at right now, in my opinion.
In terms of the momentum that she has right now, she lost a lot after losing. Who's she even lose to?
I mean, she just lost to Queen Aminata, clean as a sheet. She
lost it to Mercedes, so like, it's not that far. I'm not talking about the
title. I'm not talking about the title. I'm talking about since she's returned from injury.
She's lost to Jamie Hayter. She's lost to Queen Aminata.
Exactly. She's lost too many matches to beat Mercedes in the first round of this match, of this tournament.
I almost wish that there was a wild card in the women's. That'd be kind of fun.
Maybe not. She doesn't have momentum. It's she doesn't have the momentum and just the wherewithal to beat Mercedes right now.
For me, I think they should have waited till post Athena versus Mercedes to pull the trigger on that feud, because I think that's what's making this so difficult right now. Because we all know it's exactly what Charlie's saying. We all know they're not winning because they're tied up in that right now, right? So we know based on that probably they're going to at least win their first round matches at minimum. We know that for a fact because we have to get to that match now, right? Because it's been teased. So
yes, if the women's semifinals are, I mean,
I'm not
yeah.
saying it wouldn't have been great for what we got out of, excuse me, out of Mercedes with Billy. I'm glad we got that match. Obviously, that's all well and good, right? But I do think that has thrown a wrench in the tournament in terms of like how you're going to view it, because you, I think, just are going to know things going in inherently.
And yeah, and guess what?
I don't know how that's
they've
gonna
never.
Affect things.
And the women's division has never been able to do this before. And that's why this is inherently a good thing, because we have so many stories booked in the women's division right now that it's actually not a complete fucking crapshoot picking one of these tournaments. We know what the semifinals are. If you want to toss in the Thunder Rosa Shock, sure, that just eliminates Statlander. We still know Hayter's going to the final then. Like,
and
they
Jamie
have Hayter booked,
and Thunder Rosa have history, so that's
they've
there's
booked
that
out
there.
So many women's storylines in advance that we can actually play in this sandbox a little bit. Now, I guess again, I think I value much more someone getting in the tournament than it seems like you were doing. Because to me, even her losing to Mercedes on pay per view is so much better than like I keep using her tonight, but Deonna Purrazzo as an example, because I know she's healthy, right? It's so much better than being in her position where you're not even featured at all. Or Queen Aminata or Serena Deeb. Like, anyone you want to say, you'd rather be in the tournament losing on pay-per-view. And I just think, to me, that matters a little more. But I see what you're saying, too, and why is she in it if she's just going to lose? That's just the way the cards are this year. Willow was in it her first year just to lose. It happens. You know, it's just the way it is. Willow came
I would
in
say,
as an enhancement
though, and I think you would agree with me that Willow's performance in that first tournament was so good, regardless of whether she lost.
It
demanded that
say.
She win it the next year. So, like,
that
tees up
say.
Julia
like,
even more.
Like, we're not, I'm not saying that Julia's.
But Julia can't do that. Can Julia do that in one match if she's going to lose?
Yes.
Yes, it's Julia Hart.
If you don't have a good
match
with Mercedes,
and then be forgotten for the rest of the tournament as a member of the tournament.
If you don't have a good match with Mercedes, you can't hang in this company.
She's going to have a good match. What I'm saying is one good match with Mercedes at the beginning of the tournament, when Mercedes goes on to have an even crazier match with Athena the next week, is it going to still be the memorable match of the tournament? I doubt it.
That's all personal preference. Yeah.
We remember Punk Joe from the semifinals collision, but we also remember the Punk Joe from All In. but yeah, I think Julia, like, you have to have Julia have a good showing. She's going to lose, obviously, but it's just, I wasn't saying that she's going to get squashed. She's going to have a good match.
Even if she does, Willow got squashed against Red Velvet in her first tournament here. It happens.
What? Hold on, I'm going back.
There was a time when Red Velvet was massively valued.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it really just, it's one of those things. It's where you're at on the card, you know? I mean, it happens.
I'm not saying that she's not still, by the way.
Crap, Red Velvet is still massively valued. 16 seconds.
Yeah, no, that was tough. I remember, I think I was very upset about that at the time, I believe, if I remember right, Charlie, right?
Because, well, it's just like, where's Anna Jay right now, you know? There's a lot of advocates for it.
I don't know if I'd have Anna Jay in this particular tournament with the people that are in it.
It feels really good right now that people have opportunities, because even going back to last year.
I just want one of these tournaments to be the fucking miracle run, man. Is it ever going to happen?
It could be for Chris Statlander. It could be for Herder. Absolutely.
But when, like, we're saying that's who has to win, that's not the miracle run to me. The person that you think not the person you think shouldn't win, but the person you think, man, it'd be really awesome if they did win. Like, do we not walk into tournaments thinking like that anymore?
Well,
Well,
hold on. Mercedes is untouchable. If anyone beats her in this tournament, that's a big deal. So you got to remember. And think about it. We're advocating for, I don't think she's going to win. So to me, like, that's fucking insane. So. I just don't know. I could be totally pigeonholed too much in seeing Mercedes versus Athena, and it might not happen at All In, right? I'm tunnel visioned on that.
I don't think that they have to face each other in this tournament for that match to happen at All In. I think that
don't set them up with Harley Cameron versus fucking Julia Hart in the same bracket. They got the two gimmies. They just did.
Is this a situation where that should have been the tournament, the two opposite brackets? Then you could then maybe that leads into the match, right? Because again, you don't have them, you have them build up on the opposite sides of the bracket, and you have them going back and forth, you know, doing the similar feud, but starting from the beginning of the tournament as opposed to before. And that was so obvious. That was so obviously the way to book it that they looked at it and said, what if we did it differently? And that's how we end up where we're at. Like, because it does feel like the one weird thing is that they're on the same side of the bracket.
But how? You don't want them in the finals. The winner has to go for the world title.
Why can't either of them go for the world title? I'm so confused
because
about
they're
that.
Facing each other. Is that you see where I'm at?
I guess for me, I don't know why that would have to, like, we have to immediately have that match. They cost them in the match against Tony, and then they go on to have a feud?
Because that's your All-In match. You're not costing the All-In match. You're not doing that.
I mean,
I don't think they're going to triple threat that.
They're triple threating it either. I'm saying that's definitely been interference at All-In before, I'm pretty sure. Like,
I don't know. Not that I can think of. I mean, Roddy tried, but that was about it. All right. That'll be it for us. Should be Dynasty tomorrow. There's some results I can't wait to see. I am so excited for some of these results. Like, just to see what happens with this Trios title. We were also split on that. Megan Bain, right? I'm so excited. We gave pitches for all three people to win the international title. We're all unanimous on Swerve. What if he doesn't win? It's going to be interesting. We are unanimous on Adam Cole, and that's a title change. We got some fun stuff coming up. So I hope you guys enjoyed this bonus ESE episode. I'm titling this shit like the ultimate deep dive, bro. This was fun. I know people are going to be loving this shit. Thanks again, everyone. And we will catch you on the flip side. This has been Daredevil.
Born again.
Wrong show, motherfucker.
It's